It's the Sports Talk Podcast with Ryan Furin giving you the hottest sports takes in town. You can reach Ryan through Facebook, email, and Twitter. Now it's time to start the show. Here's Ryan.
Welcome back to the Sports Talk Podcast here on Podbean.com, as well as iTunes. Welcome back for another edition of the Sports Talk Podcast. Today is a big day on the show. The major announcement that we had last week, that I talked about on last week's show, will be revealed, of course, at the end of the show. I'm not going to reveal it right here now. That will be in the Talk to Take. No sports take in the Talk to Take today. It's all going to be about the major announcement, the reveal of the major announcement. But before that, we're going to get to some other stuff. All on the New England Patriots. It is July 19th today, Thursday, July 19th. Soon will be training camp, soon after that preseason. And then the official start to the regular season will begin. And I'm so excited. I'm really excited. Of course, if you've heard other episodes of the show, this is not really a good time for sports. It's only the Red Sox, and once we get into fall, it's the best time of the year because you got the Patriots, soon after that the Bruins, and I just can't wait. And so I'm very excited, so I want to start off with some early Pats predictions, going to look over their free agency moves. And I know that I said in a couple episodes ago that I'm going to go through every NFL team and talk about what they did last year. This episode, we're just going to talk about some of the Pats free agency moves and what I think they're going to do this year. So not that much of an in-depth look, but we're going to do them a little early. And I hate to think about this game, but we're going to have to do it. If I'm going to want to talk about the Patriots on the show, we're going to have to get my thought in about last season and losing the Super Bowl, losing Super Bowl 46 to the Giants. I'm going to talk about that game and what I saw from it and why they lost, and hopefully what they'll have to do to get back to it. But first, this is Sports Talk with Ryan Furin. Hey, how are you? You can contact the show on Twitter, twitter.com/SportsTalkRF. That's at SportsTalkRF. The show is also on iTunes. You can find all of the latest Sports Talk episodes right there on iTunes. Just search Sports Talk with Ryan Furin in the iTunes store. This is our sixth show. We're coming to you here on, like I said, July 19th. So we're making some progress here into the summer. But let's start off with some early Pats predictions here as we're almost ready to start training camp. Early thoughts on the Pats this year, they're stacked. They're loaded. They are they're geared up this year, and they should dominate this year. I mean, they signed a lot of good talent on both sides of the ball. I'm going to go through every name in a little bit, but they should dominate, barring injury. What happens to people who lose the Super Bowl, the next year they get riddled with injuries. I think as long as the Pats don't get a lot of injuries to key guys on both sides of the ball, they should be able to dominate this year. I think anything lower than a 13-3 record for this Patriots team would be a gross miscalculation, because the past 2 years, in 2010 they were 14-2, last year they were 13-3. I don't think they should go into 13-3. I think they'll go 15-1. I think this team has every chance to go 16-0. I mean, they have one of the easiest schedules in the league. I'm not going to say that they're going to do that. I would never want to predict a perfect season. But I do think that they will dominate this year, like I said, barring injury. If there are no injuries, they will dominate. And so I'm going to give it to you right now. My prediction, their record is 15-1 this year. I think that's certainly possible. Like I said, the past two seasons, they've gone 14-2 and 13-3. And they've only gotten better this offseason with the acquisitions that they got. So I think all you got to do is look up. So that's why I think they'll go 15-1. Those guys that we signed, we'll go through them right here. They signed wide receiver Brandon Lloyd. He should add a lot of explosiveness to the offense, along with all the other wide receivers that we still have currently. Will Allen, a veteran cornerback. That's one of the things with this Patriots defense, and I'm going to get into it a little bit later on. They are a young group. And when the Patriots, 2 years ago when they lost to the Jets, and even last season when they were losing, my main gripe with it was, well, you got a lot of young guys out there that really don't know what they're doing. You got to add some veteran depth into there. And so Patriots did that this offseason. They got Will Allen, a cornerback. He's been a veteran of the NFL for a while. Robert Gallery, he is an offensive lineman. He should add some depth to the O-line. We re-signed Dante Stallworth. He was there for the perfect season. a few years ago. Bobby Carpenter was also a member of the Patriots a long time ago. He's a linebacker, should add some depth there. We re-signed Jabbar Gaffney, who was also on that perfect season team. We signed Joseph Addai, who was once the enemy in Indianapolis, the running back. He should add some veteran depth to the running back position. You have guys like Stephen Ridley, as well as Shane Vereen, who we never saw last season. He's should be tested this year. Oh, excuse me, Stephen Ridley should be tested this year by Shane Vereen. And hopefully Joseph Addai brings out the best in both of them. They drafted Tavon Wilson and Chandler Jones, two very good players on the defensive side of the ball, which I definitely think they will help. They signed Jake Ballard, New York Giants tight end, as well as tight end Bo Scafie. And so they loaded up their stack now. They got a lot of veterans at a lot of different positions. They got a lot of good talent at a lot of different positions. You add Brandon Lloyd to an already pretty good wide receiving core from last year's AFC Championship team. Gotta remember, this team won the AFC last year. They went to the Super Bowl. Just because they didn't win, it doesn't mean that it wasn't an accomplishment. That's a lot of things. I will say that if you don't win the Super Bowl, your season is a failure. I will say that. But just because we didn't win the Super Bowl, that doesn't mean that the season was an accomplishment. It's a huge accomplishment. I mean, the Patriots for the past couple of years have been going through a rebuilding process. A lot of the veterans that got them their first three Super Bowls on the defensive side of the ball especially are gone. A lot of them either got shipped out or left as free agents or retired. So they've had to rebuild on the defensive side of the ball. And to go to the Super Bowl with a rebuilding process still in the works, pretty good. And so I don't think that we should forget that the Patriots made it to the Super Bowl last year. I think that's a stellar accomplishment to see where they came from just a couple of years ago. I mean, even at the beginning of the year, if you had said to me, oh, this team's going to make the Super Bowl, I would have said, no way. Sure, they may make it to a conference championship, but I mean, there's no way they're making it to the Super Bowl. But they did. And I do think that if the Patriots make it, I mean, if the Patriots play injury-free football all season long, I do think there is a big possibility that they will wind up back in the Super Bowl with all the offseason acquisitions. And the guys that are returning, Patriots should go to the Super Bowl this year. Like I said, as long as there are many and there aren't major injuries to this team, they should be in the Super Bowl once again. A big thing for last season was the fact that, you know, the defense wasn't good. I think they were ranked 31st in total yards. But you got to admit, they stepped it up in the playoffs. During the Denver game, I thought that was when they showed, at least me, they showed me something. That Denver game, I saw them really go after it that night. And a lot of people didn't give them credit for that Denver win, the defense, because they said, well, it was Denver and they were playing Tim Tebow and, you know, they were supposed to get crushed. The Broncos were supposed to get crushed. But I think that it was that game that set the tone. And I said, you know, these guys are going to show us something down the stretch. Nobody wanted to believe that. And then in the AFC Championship game, I thought they played pretty well. Pretty well. And even in the Super Bowl, I thought they played it pretty well. You know, they gave up a lot of yards in the regular season, but I thought in the postseason, they held their own pretty well for the most part. Especially Sterling Moore knocking the ball out of Lee Evans' hands. That was unbelievable. That's one of the best games ever in the history of the New England Patriots. Even though they lost the Super Bowl, that was still a tremendous game. The 2011 AFC Championship, that was tremendous. But getting back into this year, I do think that defense, even though it is a young core of players, even though it is a young group, they are starting to mature together. Guys like Devin McCourty, Kyle Arrington, got guys up the middle, Brandon Spikes. You still have Jerron Mayo there. He's not young, but he's sort of helping all of those guys stay together. It is a young unit, and they're bringing in veteran guys, and I think it's going to be the right mix. The young guys are really starting to get it. I think they are. It's not just a bunch of nobodies out there. And I think what it was for these past few seasons, and getting back into the draft, Tavon Wilson and Chandler Jones, those are two impact players on the defensive side of the ball. Chandler Jones, a guy that can get to the quarterback. Tavon Wilson, a general out there on the defense. I think that the draft routine for the Patriots and Bill Belichick was changed this year. I personally think, I feel that Belichick for these past few seasons has said, well, as long as I have Brady running my offense, I don't care who's on defense, I can outgun him with Brady. And I felt that that's been his strategy. You know, if I have to win games 45-44 and hang on Brady's arm the whole way through, I'm going to do it. I don't really care about the defense. As long as Brady's out there, I can un-gunsling anybody. And I think, yeah, that'll get you through the regular season, maybe a playoff game or two, but once you get to the Super Bowl, it's a different game. Even when you get to the playoffs, it's a different game. We saw that all season, regular season long, they were giving up yards left and right. All these different teams, not just the Patriots, all these different teams were giving up huge numbers of yardage. But then in the playoffs, it changes. It does change. It's a different game in the playoffs. In the postseason, it's definitely, the defenses mean much more. And so I think that's where Belichick screwed up here over the past few seasons. His philosophy, at least I think, was, as long as I have Brady, I can outgun anybody. We can outscore any other team as long as I have Brady. And he has weapons on the offensive side of the ball. I don't think that he felt that he needed to stop anybody. As long as he had an offense that could outscore the other team, that's all he cared about. But I think he finally realized, after losing this Super Bowl, man, we could have had another Super Bowl. We could have had another banner. I could have had another ring. Could have renamed my boat Six Rings. If you saw the football life with him last fall, they could have had another Super Bowl. And that's literally how close they were. I'm going to get into this next. But they were so close. And in the end, it was the defense. I'm sort of giving away my take for the next segment, but I think he finally realized, okay, I was that close to winning another Super Bowl, and it was the defense that let me down. So now I'm going to start to pay attention. I'm going to invest more. That's why he went out and got guys that could help him on the defensive side of the ball. In the draft, he didn't trade out of those spots. He didn't take offensive linemen or take a risk on a first-round wide receiver. He took guys, impact players, that can get to the quarterback and could change the game on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that's going to help out tremendously for the Patriots. If they had Chandler Jones and let him run free and let him get to the quarterback, that's going to be huge for the Patriots because they don't really have a guy like that. They haven't had a guy like that for a while. And if you have somebody that they've drafted that can do that, Jerron Mayo probably could have been, but he really doesn't do stuff like that. So if we have those guys from the draft and then young guys build them up, keep them on the Patriots for the next few seasons, that should help us big time. And I think it was great that Belichick finally woke up and said, all right, that's enough. No more ignoring the defense. No more just throwing any Joe Schmo out there and, you know, letting them cover anybody. You know, I got to get serious about the defense. And I think that he did that. And I applaud him for doing that. Because now we have a chance to stop guys. That was one of the things that the Patriots really could never do this past season. They couldn't win those close games. Sure, they could outgun you. But they really couldn't win those close games. A couple of situations here and there they could. But overall, they couldn't win the close games. The 20-17s. The 10-3s, if the game called for it. They couldn't do that because they didn't have a dominating defense. But I think now that gives us a chance to, if the situation calls for it, especially if it's in the playoffs, if we got a win 17-16, having that good defense gives us the chance to do it. And I think if we have that chance to win those types of games, then this, you know, then we could certainly win the Super Bowl. So I would definitely expect a Super Bowl. All right, let's I'm going to break here, and when we get back, we're going to recap Super Bowl 46. We're going to have some fun talking about the one that got away. Well, actually, this was the second one that got away for the Pats. Next. Back in here on Sports Talk. Again, get in touch with the show at Sports Talk RF. That's my Twitter handle. You can also get in touch with my personal Twitter account if you want to. That's at Ryan_Foran12. Getting back into some more Pats talk. We really haven't talked much Pats on the show so far, so this is good. And I really want to talk more Patriots as we progress here in the summer on Sports Talk. But anyways, we're getting into Super Bowl 46. And I just think overall, my one takeaway from that game was it just wasn't their day. It just wasn't their day. It just seemed like something was, some football god somewhere didn't want the Pats to win that day. I mean, and the one telling thing for me, three fumbles. One was a forced fumble, and two were just regular fumbles on the ground. And the Patriots got none of them. We actually got the forced fumble that was down in, we had our backs against the wall. Giants were driving, and someone got stripped of the ball. I can't remember what receiver it was for the Giants, but the Patriots had possession of it, and they got called for too many men on the field. Then there were also two other fumbles. The Giants running backs put two other balls on the ground. Patriots got neither of them. So that was three fumbles that the Patriots could have had, three huge turnovers, but because of a penalty, it just didn't happen. And then I think the other two bounced right back into the Giants' hands. Like, literally, nowhere was a blue jersey around those balls when they hit the turf. No Patriots around to pick up the fumble. Right back into the Giants' hands. It just wasn't our day. It just wasn't lucky. Like, two fumbles and none of them went the way of the Patriots. Both of them went back to the Giants. And then the first one got called back. Those were just telling things. And then, of course, the safety at the beginning of the game, it just wasn't our day. I know that's a sorry excuse for why we lost, but it just wasn't their day. When you look back at it, and that's what I said after that game, was just like, you know what? As much as we thought that this was our year for whatever reason, and Myra and all that crap. Sorry, Myra. I mean, sometimes I'll say, like, when I'm talking about a lot of stuff, I'll just say, and all that crap. I'm not necessarily meaning that it's crap. Like, I'm not degrading it or anything. I'm just saying, oh, all that crap. Like, everything just roped into one sort of category, and I just say, all that crap. But anyways, so we thought it was our year, but it just wasn't in the end, and you know, I think that the day itself was just indicative of that. It's just nothing went our way. You know, it seemed for a while like it was going to turn around, but just in the end, I guess it just wasn't our day. I would blame, the most blame that I put on this loss was the defense. Now, I might have alluded to that earlier in the show, but I think it was the defense that hurt us the most. Obviously, the Welker drop, that was huge. If we had gotten that converted on that first down, maybe drove in for a touchdown, the game's over, sit on the clock for a little bit more and kick a field goal, the game's over, whatever the case may have been, had Wilker caught the ball, I don't think it was as hurtful as the defense. So the Giants get the ball back, and Eli Manning has 3:43, I'm pretty sure it was left, so pretty much 4 minutes left. Pretty much what it amounted to was all the Patriots needed to do was make one last stop. One last stop, and they were Super Bowl champions. One stop. One play to step up and win the Super Bowl. One play. One drive. Drive where they forced four straight plays, and the Giants couldn't gain a first down. One interception. One fumble. Something. Some sort of great defensive play. All they needed was one good defensive stand, and they couldn't do it. And at the end of the day, Bill, your defense was the one thing that lost you that Super Bowl. You might have been able to outgun Eli Manning that day, but in the end, it was the defense that lost the Super Bowl. If the defense had come together and made that stop, game would have been over. So I put it on the defense more than anything else in that game, that you had 4 minutes left and you needed to make one stop and you couldn't do it. I blame the defense. I blame the defense. All they had to do was stop them once. They did a pretty good job of it for the other half of the game. They didn't really let up a lot of points. It wasn't a high-scoring Super Bowl. They did a pretty good job. But unfortunately, and that's my computer fan, but unfortunately, they couldn't do it. And so I'd give them pretty much full blame. I know that's unfair, but that's what I would put it on. They didn't take control. The Patriots didn't take control when they could have. They were on the Giants' throats. And it was turning into, to steal a phrase, a track meet. And all the Patriots needed to do was keep gunning that ball. And eventually they would have scored and they would have gone up by more than a touchdown, and that game could have been over. But I believe it was in the third quarter. I probably should have looked this up, but I didn't. In the third quarter, they decided to go with a fullback. Patriots don't use fullbacks. First of all, that's a dying position in the NFL anyways, but the Patriots don't do fullbacks. If they're going to send a fullback formation out there, they'll usually just put a tight end in there. They don't have a set fullback. I think Patrick Pass was the last true fullback that the Patriots employed on their roster. Fred McCrary was another one. But the Patriots, for some reason, brought in a fullback, Losaka Polite, and instead of trying to run them out of the arena and just try to, you know, gun it down their throats, what they do is they go with this fullback package and just start handing it to Losaka Polite, and they turn the ball over, and it gives the Giants more chances. And so I think if you have them right where you want them, Bill, I'm addressing this to Bill, but what I think you thought all along was I can outgun anybody, then why are you going with a package that has a fullback that you never use? You never use fullbacks. So why are you going to start doing it in the Super Bowl? You know you could beat these guys without using a freaking fullback. Don't use a fullback. Oh, that was just agonizing to see that. Brady wasn't good either. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Brady really wasn't good. I mean, the safety at the beginning of the game and the Gronk pick, oh, that was a heartbreaker. To turn it over on that play, and you got to think if Gronk was healthy, he would have made that catch, but still, why throw it there in that situation and risk it? And like I said, the Welker drop, that was a heartbreaker, obviously. That could have iced the game. But you never know. Like, see, with the defense, if you had made a stop there, I know it was 4 minutes left. It wasn't like there was under a minute. But let's say that the Giants take some time off that clock, and instead of 4 minutes, they're at, like, maybe, like, the midfield or the 40-yard line, and there's, like, under 2 minutes left. Then you stop them. Then you make, you know, a fourth down stop, or there's a pick. Then you try to send the ball. Chances are that game's going to be over. Chances are that the game's going to be pretty much in the bag. If Wes Welker catches that ball, you don't know what's going to happen. Maybe the Patriots go for a touchdown, Brady throws an interception. Maybe they try to run with it, and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis puts it on the ground. Never fumbled before, but you never know what can happen. So it wasn't a sure thing that Welker was going to win the Super Bowl for the Patriots had he caught that ball. Would it have happened? Would the Patriots have won the Super Bowl if he caught that? Probably, but it wasn't a definite. Like, stopping the Giants on defense would have been. Wasn't a definite. And we'll get into this later on in the NFL season, but a lot of people, and I still hear this all the time, Eli Manning is not elite. I hear that all the time, that he's not an elite quarterback. I don't like Eli Manning personally for what he's done to the Patriots. I don't like saying this because I'm a Patriots fan, but for me, at least, Eli Manning is an elite quarterback in the NFL. I don't know how you can say anything else. Okay, after that first Super Bowl, maybe it was a fluke, but he does it twice. Two Super Bowl wins, more than his brother. Two Super Bowl wins, both of them come against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. How can you not say that's elite? I mean, that's elite for me. Two Super Bowl championships. He's in the top five players of the entire league. Certainly quarterbacks as well. I think it's Tom Brady. You throw Aaron Rodgers in there. You throw Drew Brees in there. I guess you can do Peyton and then Eli. If you want to put him higher than five, you go ahead and do that, but I'm just going to keep him in five. If he wins another Super Bowl, then he's certainly in that class even more so. But two Super Bowls, and believe me, I am a huge Patriots fan. And I really don't like Eli personally, but I got to give him his due. I have to give him his due. Two Super Bowl wins, that's elite for me. And he won those games. Two big drives at the end of both Super Bowls, Super Bowl 42 and Super Bowl 46. He won his team those games both times. So that's elite for me. Oh, and I also do think that the Patriots would have won that game and Super Bowl 42 as well if Brady had at least 2 minutes at the end. Brady had, I believe it was under a minute in this game. I think he had 35 seconds in Super Bowl 42. I think he would have won both Super Bowls. Patriots would have had both titles if he had at least 2 minutes left. Because you got to remember, by the time the Patriots got to midfield in Super Bowl 46 on that last drive, he had 9 seconds left. He had to heave a ball from midfield with 9 seconds left. Imagine if they had had 2 minutes, what they could have done. Same thing in the other game. I think if they had had more time, the Patriots would have won. So I don't think Brady's lost a step. I don't think Brady's lost his touch. I just think that at the end of the day, he made mistakes in the game, just like he did in Super Bowl 36 and 38 and 39. But the difference with these two Super Bowls was that he didn't have enough time at the end of the game to make up for it. He didn't have enough time to do a winning drive. Sure, he had time, but it wasn't nearly enough. And so I'm excited for the new Patriots season. I want to, you know, stop harping on Patriots Super Bowl losses. Win the Super Bowl again. Hopefully it's this year. Can't wait. First game is September 12th, I think. We are on the road opening up against Tennessee Titans, and so I cannot wait for that game. It is a 1 o'clock game on CBS. Cannot wait for the start of the regular NFL regular season. I'm dying for some football here. Can't wait for that. So after this, we're going to get into the talk to take. Hey, it's the announcement that you've all been waiting for. The major announcement is revealed next. So we're back in here on Sports Talk, and this is what you've all been waiting for, the major announcement reveal. That was a sad attempt at a drum roll, but so here we go. This is the talk to take of the day, and this is the reveal of the major announcement that I was talking about in the last episode. This is going to bring so much more to the show and more interactions. It's going to bring a lot to the show. Let's just get on with it. The major announcement for Sports Talk is that we are getting a YouTube channel. Yes, a YouTube channel for Sports Talk. It is going to be so exciting, so epic. The YouTube channel is going to be called Sports Talk Extra with Ryan Ferran. It's just going to be an informal sort of way to explore some more things with the show. It's going to be videos, obviously, so if you don't know what I look like, you'll be seeing me with web videos, and it's going to be very, very fun. I cannot wait. I've been wanting to do this for a while. Last year, I guess I'll say, I didn't really know too much about YouTube. Then all of a sudden, I started getting into YouTube channels and, you know, watching and subscribing to other people. And so for a while, I've said, you know what, that's so cool. I think I'd like to do that. But I never really had a form to do it. So then we started Sports Talk, and I thought, well, you know, what a good way to get more people to listen to the show, and just another way to interact. Start a YouTube channel. Make some videos. Now, the format's probably going to be shorter videos, maybe like 5, 6, 7 minute videos with a take in there, maybe like, you know, a national take. Maybe if I do a show on Monday and I don't do another show for the rest of the week and something happens in the world of sports, I can, on a Tuesday, I could just go in there and make a quick video. That way I don't have to produce a whole show, because that's a project in and of itself. But anyways, so that's what's going to be. It's going to be short clips, maybe a little bit longer, of sports takes. Like I said, maybe something that I didn't have time for on the show, or maybe just something that comes to my mind. Also vlogs as well. Vlogs, if you don't know what that is, video blogs, pretty self-explanatory, but maybe just some vlogs, just about anything, you know, not necessarily sports, but other things. I've already talked about music on Sports Talk podcast. That was last episode. If you didn't see that, go check that out. But maybe other things as well. And I cannot wait to start it. The beginning of August is when I'm going to do it. Now, I could start it today, but I want to do a couple things first. I want to get a logo for the show. It's something that I've been wanting to do for a while now, and it's just either I don't want to do it, or I'm about to do one, and something happens, and I can't do it. Sorry for that. We are going to be getting a logo. I'm going to have to make it myself, and I'm not very good at graphic designs. That's why I'm in communications. If I was good at graphic designs and making stuff on the computer, I'd probably be in that field, but I'm not good at that. So I'm going to try to make a poor attempt at a logo, get that up. Once I do the logo, then I want to also test out my webcam. I've never used the webcam on my laptop, so we'll try that out. And then I'm thinking the beginning of August is when we will start it, right at the end of summer, going into the fall. Like I said, you know, short videos. It's going to be called Sports Talk Extra, just one, you know, extra, no E-X-X. Just a short video clip, short takes, not a huge long show, but I just think it's going to be great, and hopefully we can get a lot more people interested in the show. And I think it's going to be a good informal way to get in contact with me as well. I just think overall it should be an interesting venture that we're going to go through here on Sports Talk. If you can hear people in the background, it's my next door neighbors. Don't be alarmed. But anyways, so that is the major announcement. YouTube channel is coming for Sports Talk. So get excited, people. This is going to be epic. And so with that major announcement revealed, show's over today. I do want to thank everybody for listening today to the 6th edition of Sports Talk. So we're getting up there, almost our 10th episode anniversary, but thank you again for listening. Been with us since the beginning, thank you so much. And if you're just coming on board, hey, welcome. Today is Thursday. We will probably have another episode next week. So until then, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.